From the studios of WNAA-FM-HD, welcome to another edition of How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guest, and not of WNAA-FM-HD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nanette and Keith Funderburk.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. I am Dr. Nanette Funderburk, your resident psychotherapist, and as always, I've got with me today...
Oh, Dr. Funderburk, your boy is sitting right here looking at your pretty smile. Keith Funderburk, your husband.
And
you know what? I'm getting ready for Valentine's Day.
Oh, is that what it is?
Look, I'm already getting ready, class.
Okay.
Y'all know we got to get ready early, fellas. Don't wait till the last minute.
That's right. Please don't.
That's right. So, Dr. Funderburk, I give you a theme name every week.
Mm-hmm.
And I am really excited about today's show.
You know, I am, too. I'm very excited about today's show.
Because, you know, look, we're starting on Black History.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a really good guest.
We
have
going
to talk to us a little about some of the things that's going on.
Phenomenal guest.
Phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But today, here you go. I want you to call me Brother Golden Brown.
Brother Golden Brown.
That's right.
He's trying, y'all.
That's right.
He's trying.
See, back in the day,
uh-huh,
Dawson brothers were in.
Mm-hmm.
Man, like Morris Chestnut and all them other dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they were popular.
He's popular now, too. Yeah.
Okay. No, I knew he got a new television show, but I'm talking about, but look.
Mm-hmm.
But Golden Brown,
mm-hmm,
taking over. El DeBarge started it for us. That's right. Back in the 80s.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, he took that high voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so now,
mm-hmm,
light-skinned brothers, we pay homage.
Okay,
to
sir.
To L and, you know, Michael Jackson. So
okay, I'm not even going there.
That's right. So, but Dr. Funderburk, this week, can you call me Golden Brown?
No, I cannot.
Yeah, that's what this is.
Because you know what? It's going to be sandal season real soon, and those feet are not golden brown.
Dr. Funderburk, now, my feet are nice and golden brown.
They are like the fluorescent highlighter.
Okay, brothers.
Okay, so you all, you know, he always gives a name that kind of leads you into what we're talking about today. And our guest today is well-educated and an expert, actually, in the area that we are discussing today. We're discussing colorism. And she is a DE&I professional, diversity, equity, and inclusion professional. And her name is none other than Ms. Kiva Elliott.
Wow.
Can we give a great big Aggie pride for Kiva Elliott? Because
yeah,
she got her master's degree from North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University.
Uh-oh, Aggie pride.
Now,
we do got to
say.
You
got it, girl.
That's right. But she did go across the street over to Winston for the undergrad.
She went down the way. Yeah.
We do want to give the Rams a little shout out.
So though, it's still HBCU
love.
That's
right. HBCU love.
But you all, like I said, she's a DE&I professional. We're talking to her today about colorism. But y'all know we can't just not talk about some of the more recent happenings right now. So before we delve into colorism,
mm-hmm,
start us off, Mr. Keith.
Well, you know, I was wondering,
Mr. Golden Brown, wannabe Golden Brown.
Oh, dang. But you know, I was really wanting to know something from Kiva's perspective. You know, I recently heard just in the last week or so that, you know, there's some things changing from a legislation that's going to be impacting DEI, you know, and how it's going to show up, especially for the federal government. You know, you got any thoughts, you got any feelings, Kiva, on how DEI is changing and evolving?
Yes. So, Keith, or am I supposed to call you Golden Brown? I don't know,
It's all good.
Okay.
Thank you.
So really, you know, nobody can deny, mm-hmm, that what happened over the last week and all of the executive orders and different things that the new administration has put in place has caused all of us to pause.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that's the advice that I'm giving to people that are reaching out to me, and what is this going to mean? What is this, you know, how is this going to impact us? And, you know, all of those different things. It's like, wait a minute, let's, mm-hmm, just pause for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And let's silence the noise a little bit. Yeah. And let's get ourselves understand what is really happening, mm-hmm. what can happen. Mm. You know what I mean? Because we don't know that he can roll back all of this stuff, like that the administration can do that. So I think we just got to pause for a minute, let the dust settle, mm-hmm. and then figure out our course of action. Now, one thing that I will say that I am very vocal about is people get tied up on the name, right? Diversity, mm-hmm. equity, and inclusion. Mm-hmm. But let's be real. This work did not just begin.
Yeah.
We've been doing DEI for a very long time. Like,
exactly.
I mean, a long time. This is not new. So you can call it what you want to call it. It's still the work of making sure that we are creating environments and a society that respects everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about respect. And so we will continue to do that, whether you want to call it whatever you want to call it. We're going to still continue to be on that journey of making sure that everybody feels accepted and respected in wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
So let's break down DEI just for a brief moment, and then we'll get into the details of colorism. So with DEI, it's more than just understanding. It's not multiculturalism. It's not just for understanding Black folk. When you think about diversity, equity, and inclusion, what kind of topics or what types of training that may take place with DEI for those that may not understand it?
So there are several different, you know, when we think about diversity, equity, inclusion, a lot of people, like you said, will tie it to, oh, they just want to hire all Black people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not what that is. Mm-hmm. So diversity has many, many dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And so we could do trainings around helping people understand what empathy is.
Okay.
How do you show empathy for people that are different than you, okay. right? Mm-hmm. Or we may do trainings on microaggressions. What does that mean? What is that? And how is that impacting people, not just in the workplace, and all over, right? And then also, I think cultural humility is what we train on too, to help people understand how to interact and what things they have in their control, right? So when we think about that, it's about self-awareness is one big thing. You have to know yourself in order to start to disrupt some of these systems that have been put in place. So it's a lot of different things, Keith. It's so broad, but you really got to focus on what it is that that group needs at that particular time.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And did you say cultural humility?
Mm-hmm.
I like
cultural
that.
Humility. Mm-hmm.
Man, so look, we got some big words that we are learning today.
Well, but that was a phrase.
It was a phrase. Yes, it was. but seriously though, mm-hmm. I think it's extremely important though, is that we really educate ourselves and, you know, understand, you know, you may hear things, you know, something at one time I think we were hearing a lot in the political environment for the last year or two around CRT, or was that critical race theory. I'm dropping mm-hmm. a big one too. But the real deal is we really want to encourage all of the listeners here, right here on WNAA, is to really don't just take what other folks are saying about these topics. Really just kind of spend a little time and just do your own research and learn more about, you know, what's going to be taking place as it relates to DEI and how we can educate our young people. And that's going to be really the key as we move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Funderburk, so go ahead, introduce us a little bit more. You know, we didn't want to get too in-depth with DEI, but I did want to just to talk about that a little bit. But colorism, man, look, mm-hmm. y'all, colorism showing up every day.
That's where we get Mr. Golden Brown from.
That is, because see, look, I'm right, because see, now I tell you, Dr. Funderburk and Kiva, mm-hmm. look, I'm struggling. There are a lot of days when I grew up and I started out as Black. I call myself Black. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, back in the day, you know, you were Negroes. You know, then you became African American. I got caught. I mean, I'm still kind of struggling with my identity from time to time about my name.
Just what you should call your race / ethnicity.
Yeah, now it's
slash
like when
nationality.
Yeah, you know, because now when I'm at, you know, I'm going to, let's say, a holiday or something like that at the home, you know, mm-hmm. everybody, we all look alike. So, You know, I don't worry about it. But sometimes when I'm in mixed company, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes I, you know, I don't know what else to say. Is it African-American, Afro-American? Mm. Am I black? Because, you know, really, I think I'm black.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
So, Kiva, I mean, now, what about from your perspective? Now, cause, see, look, Kiva, you know, you got a little bit of golden brownish in yourself.
Yes. Yes, I do. And you know what? I typically say African American.
Okay.
That is what I identify as, mm-hmm. African American.
Mm-hmm. But you know, though, Kiva, though.
And yeah. I mean, I used to be, I'm like you too, you know, I could be black.
Mm-hmm.
At some point in time, but now I just say African American. But I don't really understand, I don't really know when that changed for me, though, Keith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you know, now when you on the yard, now, of course, man, my white folks, y'all getting a chance to kind of listen in on black folk talk. So you just listen in. This is a good education. But see, back in the day, you know, when I was on school campus, mm-hmm. you know, you had Red Bones,
mm-hmm.
or mm-hmm. you know, the Yellow Girls.
So I think that's exactly what we're all talking about here. That colorism. That's right. What colorism is, so, when we kind of make that separation, not between the races, but within the race.
But you know, but
based on our shades, yes.
But is it offensive to call a black woman, an mm-hmm. African American woman, red bone, yellow, dark skin?
Hmm. I'm gonna throw that one to yeah. Kiva.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not sure that it is. Let me tell you why. It can be offensive for some and not for others, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is, if we take this back to how all of this even started in the first place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we know that colorism is the child of racism.
Yes. Mm,
okay. Okay. Break that.
Okay. So let's look at it that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there again, it was just another way to separate us.
Yes.
And what happened is, you know, that was done back in the slavery days or slavery time. That was done, but then it carried over
mm-hmm.
to our race, right? And mm-hmm. so we started to think that's the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you started to call out or acknowledge somebody's skin tone that was different than yours, that's just trickling down from slavery and the history.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you didn't necessarily look at it as offensive, but now that we know better mm-hmm. and we understand the implications of that, I think we should, you know, everybody should really refrain from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. we're all, if you identify as African American, we're all African American, regardless of your skin tone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this, and I know we're not going to go really deep into this part. Mm-hmm. I just want to throw this out here to the listeners. I know some of the listeners have heard of what I'm talking about here, the Willie Lynch letter, because some of us learned about it in school, like elementary or middle or high school, whenever it was. And that letter really talks about how do we separate the race in order to control the race.
Mm-hmm.
How do we separate the race in order to control the race? Because the beginning of the letter really talks about slave owners. I know you're tired of like your fields being burned or your animals being killed or whatever, however it says it. And the letter writer says, this is how we need to do it. This is how we need to control them. And we're going to pit dark against light. We're going to pit young against old. Mm. And there are lots of conversations as to the validity of that letter. I'm thinking, my goodness, if this letter is not real, somebody has crafted something that they knew, they saw exactly what was happening then, mm-hmm. and exactly how we were being divided amongst ourselves. So you all check that out, the Willie Lynch letter, and see what you find. See what, and maybe even, you know, write us and let us know and see if we even want to talk about this even more, on the show, on a different show.
Well, let me ask this question then, and let's get back to, so when we talk about colorism, Dr. Funnemaker, again, you're a dark-skinned sister, mm-hmm. you're, you know, in my words, a chocolate woman, mm-hmm. You know, as a dark-skinned woman, as a chocolate woman, have you experienced your own, you know, colorisms within our own, within ourselves, I mean, within our own community?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Okay, absolutely. So, I mean, because, you know, it was a learning experience for me. Mm-hmm. So can mm-hmm. you share a little bit of your story?
I mean, the line that I absolutely cannot stand
okay, what you got?
Is you are pretty to be a dark skin. You're pretty to be dark skinned. That's mm-hmm. how people would say it. And it's like, that is not a compliment. That is not a compliment, because what that says is dark skinned people are not pretty. You just happen to be an anomaly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's no, I'm not an anomaly. Dark-skinned people can be beautiful. Dark-skinned people can be attractive. That's kind of like saying, you know, you're a smart one. You're smart to be black. That would be offensive for a lot of us.
Wow.
Why? Because it's an offensive statement. So it's the same thing with saying that someone is attractive to be dark-skinned. I think you may also be talking about, Keith, an incident where we were looking at, you know, some children playing, and you were talking about the children. Yeah, they're over there playing, but then there's the black girl over there, and I said, all of the kids are black. And what did you say? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I forgot.
You pointed out the black girl because she you were calling her the black girl because she was a darker complexion. And when I pointed it out to you, you said, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize I did that. And you were so, I mean, it hurt your own feelings to realize that you had done that. Because we, you know, we recognize that sometimes stuff just gets put in you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Go ahead, Kiva.
And so, Nanette, yeah, I just want to add this, because this is a very good example of unconscious bias.
Good one. Yes.
Okay.
Talk to us. Because Keith. Yeah. So unconscious bias is really all right. So we like to think that we go through the day and we're conscious of everything that we do. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. just not true. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we live in that unconscious space. Mm-hmm. And so the brain likes what's familiar, right? So Keith, mm-hmm. along the lines or along your lived experience, you separate it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
The darker skin, worse lights, which is what was just ingrained, right? Mm-hmm. And so you didn't even realize that you were doing that until Nanette brought it up. And so colorism is truly a form of bias.
Mm-hmm.
But until... Yeah, and we have to put things in place to mitigate that. And I think, Nanette, you helped him help Keith mitigate that, because you're like, and he was like, I didn't even realize I was doing that.
Yeah.
It just came naturally, right? It just mm-hmm. came off, because that's the way he's always done. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have to be courageous. And I mean, a marriage, a husband and wife, of course you can say it, Nanette, but I think that mm-hmm. we need everybody to think about how we can disrupt those biases that we know we have. If you got a brain, you got bias. So you can't.
Absolutely.
Everybody got bias. So you just got to figure out what you can do to disrupt that, or how you can mitigate that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, y'all. You're listening to How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburgs. You got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburg. And of course, we got our good friend, Kiva Elliott. Man, we're breaking down colorism and how it shows up. You know, I want to take it a step further.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about colorism, we sometimes talk about good hair versus bad hair.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? We don't even say bad hair. We call it good hair.
Oh,
And everything that's not good hair is assumed to be bad hair.
So what we used to call kinky,
mm-hmm.
nappy.
Mm-hmm.
In the traditional American perspective,
mm-hmm.
that might have been considered negative or bad.
Mm-hmm.
But when you mm-hmm. got straight, or you got curly hair, especially when
or coily.
Say that again. Mm-hmm.
Coily.
Coily.
C-O-I-L-Y.
Okay, brothers, that's a word for you, brothers. Coily.
Like a coil.
A coil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you have that type of hair, and especially you see more of this when you have people that are lighter skinned, maybe they might be have maybe interracial, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so it does show up. I mean, how do we deal with this? And how? I mean, man, when did it come to the point where? I mean, I can remember some of the older movies, you know, and people would we were dyeing our hair, we were bleaching it. Mm-hmm. Or conking it, I think is what it was called, when you put in a little mm-hmm. bit of conk,
mm-hmm.
you know, or a little perm. I remember mm-hmm. JJ back in the day, he put a little bit of that perm in his head.
he did?
Yeah, in good times. Y'all remember good times and JJ?
I remember good times, but I don't remember that part.
But I know, but the real deal is, though, is colorism is impacting not only the workplace, it's impacting relationships, impacting mm-hmm. families. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes the children, you know, ones might look lighter versus darker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how does that show up? I mean, what do y'all think, ladies?
Well, I've definitely had people still healing from the trauma of their childhood of being the different or the only one in their family or one of few in their family who were the shade that they were. So, you know, they might have been the only light-skinned one. They might have been the only dark-skinned one. Or they might have been the darker of, you know, maybe they were all brown-skinned, but there was one that was darker or there was one that was lighter. But that one who was different or the couple who were different, sometimes they were treated differently within the family, because there may have been sometimes, not all the time, there may have been different parentage there. Other times it's just gene expression, just pure gene expression. And it comes out one way in child A and another way in child B. And in these, you know, again, unconscious, the unconscious bias that we have, it kind of gets put out there. You know, the child who doesn't have the hair that is as difficult to do, it's, oh, well, you know, it's so easy to do so-and-so's hair, but I don't know, with baby girl over here, we really gotta, I gotta tangle with that stuff, or whatever it is,
yeah.
You know, that you're going to say about one of the kids or the other. People remember that stuff, and they remember being compared to the sister. You're so-and-so's sister, or you're so-and-so's
mm-hmm.
brother? Y'all got the same mama, you know, is how it kind of comes up. And that can be so hurtful and can lead to other things. It can lead to depression. It can lead to anxiety. It can lead to trying to make changes in one's self. Also, you know, if you are if you're a certain size, whether that's whether you're thick or whether you're thin, somebody's not happy either way.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so if you compare you look at, you know, you've got dark skin, you've got light skin, then I don't fit in with the hair, then I don't fit in with the size. Now you've got somebody who does not have great self-esteem. Now you've
That's
got
right.
somebody who might be depressed or pretty anxious and maybe doing some things to feel better that aren't healthy.
What do you think, Kiva?
Yeah, I agree. And I'm just sitting here thinking, like, wow, I can imagine that there are a lot of people that haven't healed from that,
mm-hmm.
right? Because either they don't want to bring it up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or, and they just live with it. But I can see that. And you know, when you talked about trying to look a certain way, whether it's your hair or your skin tone, you remember back in the day, and it might still be happening today, but there mm-hmm. was like bleaching of your skin.
Mm. It is still happening today.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, for mm-hmm. people that think that being lighter is the right way to go, and society has told them that,
mm-hmm.
and but it was designed that way, right, to divide us, and they do things, they go to those drastic measures of bleaching their skin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so all of that is because they don't think that who they are, that they're not enough, right?
Or I'm not enough.
Yep, I'm not enough. And mm-hmm. so, people really have to heal from that.
Absolutely.
So that they don't carry that on down through their family, right?
Right.
And so I think that's great that they are coming and acknowledging that that's an issue.
And, you know, also there are lighter-skinned black women a lot of times, mm-hmm. I'm hearing, but it can impact men and women who are trying to darken their skin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're tanning.
Absolutely. That's right. They're tanning.
They're tanning, or they're getting the lotions that will yeah. make you tan, or doing whatever. So it's almost like, well, who is going to be good enough? Because
that's right.
Oftentimes, I mean, dark gets the message that you need to be lighter. Light gets the message that you need to be darker. So, mm-hmm. you know, what we really need to recognize is that, you know what, you're okay the way you are.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You're okay the way you are.
I can relate to that, of course, because I'm a fair-skinned black woman, mm-hmm. African-American woman.
Yes.
And, you know, there are times that, and we're talking about within our race, so we're not talking about outside, but within our race that I've if they were talking up to a group of people and I'm there, and it was like, well, not you, because you ain't really black.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, what?
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes me, of course, question, I got to deal with my identity, right? So what mm-hmm. do you mean by that? Like,
mm-hmm.
so I'm not black enough. I'm not white, but mm-hmm. I'm not black enough,
mm-hmm.
right? So I'm still being excluded
mm-hmm.
because I'm of lighter skin. And so those things impact you, and you take, you know, throughout your life, and you're trying to figure out, well, who am I?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You know, this is such a powerful topic. You know, we heard a lot about this even in the past, the last presidential election, Kamala Harris, which, of course, she was running for president. And, you know, there were many times that she had to talk about her race, of mm-hmm. course, being from different parents of different ethnicities. Dr. Funderburk,
mm-hmm.
you only have but a minute.
Wow.
But give us a minute or a moment for mental health.
So Kiva mentioned earlier unconscious bias. I would love for everybody to go out there and check your bias. And the way that an easy way that you can do that is to go to the Harvard Implicit Association Test. Mm-hmm. They are doing research, and they continuously do research. And even when you know how that test works, you cannot trick it. So go to that test and look up that Harvard Implicit Association Test. Harvard Implicit Association Test. Look that up and take some of the tests. They definitely have a dark versus light test. They have lots of different types of implicit bias tests that you could take as a part of that research. And I promise you, somewhere you're going to get your feelings hurt
mm-hmm.
in taking some of those tests, because it is very, very hard, if not impossible, to trick that test and to fake it on that test, even when you know how the test works. Find out where your bias is and start working on it.
Wow. Dr. Funderburk closes out.
So if you have comments or questions, please make sure that you're messaging us at WNAAcommunity@gmail.com. And we are so excited for you to join us again next time on How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. Take care, y'all.
That wraps up another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guests, and not of WNAA FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. As always, WNAA FM invites your feedback, so give us a call during normal business hours at 336-334-7936. This program was produced in the studios of 90.1 FM WNAA and is the sole property of WNAA FMHD and North Carolina A&T State University. No portion of this program may be aired, played, or reproduced without written permission from WNAA FMHD. Join us again next week for another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburks on 90.1 FM WNAA.